The hopes and fears of all the years on this episode of Pushback. If you're concerned about the direction our culture is heading, then maybe it's time to push back. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pushback. I'm Dr. Johnny, and as we're gearing up toward the Christmas season, it is my pleasure to finish up season number four with you, sharing each week my heart for the things that concern our culture from a Christian perspective, from an honor perspective, and from a heavenly perspective. Speaking of heavenly perspective, I want to just pause at the beginning of this podcast and just honor someone named Ramona Ricard. She's a very, very dear leader, spiritual mentor to us, and she passed away this past week, and she will be missed, although I believe in her life the veil between heaven and earth was very thin. And so I'm predicting that it really wasn't that much of a transition for her to simply step into her heavenly reward with her loving Jesus, who she loved so much, had such compassion for the things of the kingdom. And she was truly an inspiration to us. And I will testify to this, that she laid hands on me and empowered me at the very beginning of ministry. This is probably over 10 years ago. And it caused such a great shift in my life. And in our ministry, and we owe her so much. She believed in us, and she had such a motherly compassion for the things that burned in our hearts. And I'm so grateful for her life, for her family, that will continue to run hard for the kingdom. So to all the Ricards, we just want to say from the Clausens that we love you, and so honor Ramona in every way, and someday we'll be celebrating with her in heaven in every way. And so I just want to take that moment to just honor her and what she meant to us in our lives. So here we are in this Christmas season, and some questions that may be on people's minds, especially those who are maybe more secular or not connected to the things of this world. I'm sorry, to the things of the kingdom. The question might be, what is all the hoopla about? what is the significance of Christmas? And there is certainly an effort to dilute it and to try to make it something different, just a holiday season, when in fact it is truly a celebration. As we enter into the Christmas season, of course, in Minnesota, it is winter. However, we've been having unseasonably warmer weather here in December. We're actually in a drought. We have had no snow, and the temperatures have been upper 30s, low 40s, which is very unusual for us. But it has given me an opportunity to do something that I haven't done and probably should have done over the last 10 years or so, and that's put up a snow fence. If you're not familiar with what a snow fence is, it's basically sort of a cheap roll of plastic that goes on posts. And the idea is that it knocks the snow down and keeps it from drifting. We have two areas in our driveway. We have a quarter mile long driveway. We have two areas that if the wind is blowing just the right way and blowing hard enough, it'll drift shut our driveway, no matter how hard we try to keep it plowed and open. If the wind is blowing and is relentless enough, despite all our best efforts, it will blow shut. And so I put up a snow fence this year, hoping that's going to knock it down. So I will let you know next winter how that has worked out for us. But in so doing, our bigger teenage boys were pounding in the posts while my daughter Sadie and I, she's 11, we were putting up the fence. And we basically just put up this plastic fence and we secure it with sort of the zip strips that we're doing. And so it's a little bit of a tedious job. So we were just chatting, singing some Christmas carols together, at which point I asked her, you know, what is your favorite Christmas carol? And she said, you know, Silent Night, most likely, is a beautiful song, and she sings it beautifully. Then she, of course, asked me, or I shared, that I think my favorite is O Little Town of Bethlehem, and it's because of one line. There's one line in the first stanza of that of that Christmas carol that says the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. It gets me choked up when I sing it, when I contemplate it, when I imagine Bethlehem that night 2,000 years ago. But really what this line is saying is, O little town of Bethlehem, how still you are, and yet everything that the world has been longing for was on a collision course to this moment. The lost, the lack, the fear, the pain, the weeping, everything that humanity was crying out for was on a collision course and hit that moment in Bethlehem. Everything that humanity has longed for, every question that they've had, every tear that they've shed, everything that has been propelled by hope has come headlong into the door. It hits the door. That's what happened 2,000 years ago. See, Jesus said that I am the door. And it's an interesting word phrase that he chose, because a door is an option. It's an optional activity, whether you're going to actually walk through a door or not. I think maybe even a better word than door is that he was a doorway. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So he came to the world as an open door. Let's be clear. There was a collision in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago from those seeking truth, those wanting life and life more abundantly, those longing for the things that only heaven can provide. And 2,000 years ago, there was a Father who provided it. And it came as a form of a baby. The most beautiful form a Godhead could come to mankind, in a humble form. And he didn't come with trumpets and fanfare. He was born as a poor peasant child in a manger with the animals. It's a picture of a heart of a father. It always comes and it's enveloped in a story of a father who created us, who created the first Adam, in a beautiful world that was created for him. And he had everything that he needed. He had all of his provision. And he was complete and he was satisfied. But mankind decided to go its own way and separated themselves from a father. And it's super important that we understand that it wasn't a father that turned his back on his people, but his people that turned his back on a father. And the remainder of the Old Testament is a story of a father who desperately tried to connect with his children, who were lied to and were told that they were orphans, even though they always had a home. And it said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. It said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It was a father in a moment, a collision course of history that took place in the little town of Bethlehem. And it changed everything. And what I want to share with you with my whole heart in this podcast is that he not only came to save us, but he came to restore us, and he came to be known. If you're here today, and when I say here, I mean 2023 in December, when you're here on this earth and you're uncertain the role that Jesus plays in your life beyond salvation. And believe me, I'm not minimizing what he did to overcome and forgive your sin. He paid the ultimate price and his blood was the price. And because of that, you are saved. But he also was an open door. Jesus isn't the end. He's the beginning. He's the beginning. He's the ushering us into the kingdom of a father. He came to demonstrate a father. He came to declare a father, it says in John chapter 1. He came to show us what the Father was like. But he not only came to save us and restore us and reveal the Father, he actually came to be known. If you are here in 2023 and you've accepted Jesus, but you've never known him, there's a place in Matthew where it talks about Jesus said, people will come to me and say, didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I heal the sick in your name? Didn't I prophesy in your name? And he said, in that day, I will say, depart from me. I never knew you. That is a sobering statement by Jesus, who is saying that you can perform for me. You can do spiritual things for me. You can heal the sick. You can cast out demons. You can prophesy. These are deep spiritual things. And yet you can never know me. Jesus came to be known. And today, 2,000 years later, his desire is still to be known. For us to know him and to be known by him. That's called relationship. And that's what he is offering everyone. And a church that preaches salvation without relationship is one who is performing for him, but never knew him. See, he wants to invite us. This is the part that just blows my mind. He invites us into his heavenly family. See, there is a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit, and they are one. And there's a oneness there. And he invites us into the oneness. He actually sweeps us up because of his death and his resurrection, because he's a doorway. When we walk through the door, we are actually swept up into the Father's house where we live and we reside and we have our being with him. And we get to know each other. It's the relationship. It's the dynamic of salvation. Not only saved, but known. It's what he offers us. He offers us a pathway through the door. John 17:20, I do not pray for these alone, this is Jesus, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and that the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Think about that verse. Thank you, Father, that you've loved me, that you do love me as much as you love your Son. He says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. My friends, it is so much more than a nativity scene. It is so much more than a baby in a manger. It's even more than a cross. It's a relationship. It's to be known. He came to be in us. And we in him. He came to save and to be known. I don't know if you caught this line, but he said, whom you gave me may be with me where I am. So where is Jesus? Where is he? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that he is seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, and that all authority has been given to him in heaven and in earth. But it also says that he is in us. We in him and him in us. Him in us and we in him. He is in heavenly places. And then it says in Ephesians chapter 2, the part that blows me away, that we are seated in him in heavenly places. Isn't that what he just asked for in John? That they would, that we would be where he is. Why is that important to him? Why can't he just rule from his throne and tell us what to do? Because he came to save and to be known. My own podcast is wrecking me today because I'm so grateful for his heart and his love towards me, an everlasting love. It says that he is the everlasting Father. Everlasting. It says that he is Emmanuel, which is God with us. But I believe it goes even deeper than that. It's God in us and we in him. We and him in us. It's the place where we live. It's the realm in which we live, where he can be known. I believe it's the key. You know, this podcast is about culture. I believe it's the key to transforming culture is the understanding that we're actually serving a God that doesn't just rule us and give us rules, but he is a friend. He is a savior. He's a lover. He's intimate with us. He knows us. He's family to us in every way. He's not kind of like an everlasting father. He is the everlasting father. And there's that place of intimacy. Even at the sound of my voice in this podcast, if you're listening to this, just feel his intimacy now. It's called being known. And his desire more than anything is to be known. And our desire is to be known by him. And that we would know him. He in us and us in him. So the question about Christmas is, what is the hoopla all about? That's the answer. This is what the hoopla is all about. There is a God, an all-powerful creator God, who loves us, who cares for us, who desired to be with us and to be known by us so much that he'd be willing to come as a baby in a manger, to die on a cross, to rise again, so that we could be born again in spirit in him, so that we are seated in him in heavenly places, that we would be where he is. We would be where he is. This is what the hoopla is about. I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I'm alive again. This is worth celebrating. And it's worth celebrating this Christmas season. That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating life with him. When we spend time as family, laughing and playing and games and movies and fellowship with one another, and even opening presents, is all representative of being in him. This isn't a novel idea, this idea of celebration and giving. Because Christmas is all about giving, and he gave the ultimate. So my question for you, if you're listening to this, is, are you on a collision course? Maybe somebody set you up with this podcast and said, hey, I just want you to listen to Dr. Johnny, this one podcast this Christmas season. And maybe that's you. And you're not sure about Jesus. You like the idea maybe of being saved because you've been living in sin and it hasn't felt good. It hasn't felt right. There's been lack of purpose and understanding of even why you're here. And we're seeing the darkness in this world. And there's a longing. And the longing was actually placed by the Father from the beginning of time. And so if you haven't received Jesus, you're like the ones who have walked away from the Father's heart. And yet He's never stopped pursuing you. Even to the point of this baby 2,000 years ago, he did that for you, to come and get you, and maybe for even this moment right now. Because it's never too late. You're never too far. You couldn't have possibly done enough to separate you from the love of the Father. In fact, the Bible says there's absolutely nothing that ever could. He loves you as much as he loves his son. So this message is for you, and this is your moment, and this is your time. Everyone must decide. Everybody is ultimately on a collision course, and everybody is going to, like the song, the carol says, it's going to be met in you. Everything's going to be met in you. Your hopes and your fears. It's all going to be met in this doorway. And you're going to have to decide. Everybody comes to this point where you have to decide whether you're going to walk through. And if you're listening to this and you're feeling like the time is now, I'm just going to have you repeat after me. It's simple, and yet it's the most important eternal thing you could ever do. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. I walk through the door into your kingdom and desire to know you and be known by you. If you prayed that prayer with me for the very first time, then you've crossed over and your salvation is secure and your sins are forgiven. And because of his blood, he has covered you with his goodness and his grace. And you are part of the family. You're ushered into the family. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. You're in. And heaven is rejoicing, just like that night in Bethlehem, where the whole heavens opened up and rejoiced over the birth of the one that made it possible for everyone to enter in. And heaven reacts the same way, and that's what is happening right now if you prayed that prayer. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. So let's go together now to set and shape the culture.